we've got a break, and then we'll have a little look at John chapter 14, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Father, we want to thank you for the songs we can sing, old and new, Lord, of your praises, Lord, and we come to look at your word, Lord, that you spoke, Lord Jesus, Lord, so many years ago, and yet still they speak to our lives today. Lord, I pray you bless us and help us. Lord, help us to grasp something of you as we read your word tonight. So help us, Lord, and grant us the help, Holy Spirit's help, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 14. You may have come across this at funerals. They read this quite often at funerals. I don't know if you're aware of that, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've done too many funerals. That's the problem. I'll be to too many. Yeah. That way.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So it begins in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, the context for this, just to say, is that Jesus, at the Last Supper, has been speaking to his disciples, and he's told them he's going to die, he's going to told them they're going to deny him, he's told them they're going to do a runner, and he's told them he's coming back, but they didn't get that bit. So when they hear all these things that really disturb them, Jesus, in these next three chapters, offers them some encouragement to hang on in, because Good Friday is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the point, and they don't know that yet. But mm-hmm. So he's telling them, first of all, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And do you know why he says not to be troubled? Because they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Jesus is speaking to them in their troubled times. And God does that to us, doesn't he? When we're in a bit of a fix,
yeah.
He knows how to comfort us and help us. Well, Jesus does this for these disciples because he loves them. So, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And basically, the way to translate that is, keep on trusting in God. Because their faith is going to get tapped and challenged. And even what Jesus has said is beginning to make them wobble a bit. But in the next few hours, there's plenty to throw them. So Jesus is telling them, keep trusting in God. And then also, keep trusting in me. Right? Because it's going to look as if Jesus has failed. Totally defeated. And Jesus wants them to know, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Okay, so don't panic. Right. And then he tells them this. There's the future. In my Father's house are many rooms. Depends on how you translate that word. Some words have mansions. You've got the old version of the mansions. Yeah? In my Father's house are many mansions. The word room isn't really adequate because it means you've got your own little pad. Yes. How about that? Not bad, eh?
You don't want a room? Flat.
You want a, well, a flat. That's the word, that's the word that it conveys. That's the sort of basic original idea of a flat or something like that. Yes. Well, but will you put on yours, do not disturb you? That's the problem. Right. And one thing to bear in mind, of course, there are other parts of the Bible that talk about rewards and whatever. Each of these places is not sort of more plush than any others, you know. That's the idea is that basically Jesus is saying, in my Father's house are many rooms, there's room for you, and room for all, and room for more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea he's trying to convey, yeah? Right. If it were not so, I would have told you, yes? You can expect Jesus to tell you what you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if there wasn't a room, he'd have told them that. Mm-hmm. But he's telling them that there is. That's the idea there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. How about that? Well, you could have various decorators go in and all those people set it up. But Jesus is doing, I don't know if he's doing it personally, he's getting it organised personally, but he'll have.
I can't imagine living in anywhere then.
Well, I don't know how symbolic this is, but it's definitely the idea of somewhere to live and to be in fellowship with the Lord.
Sitting on the bench. Sitting
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
There won't be a 24-hour day, there's no more than
it.
I don't know, I don't think so. I did say, we were talking about this on Wednesday, if we are in this new heavens and new earth where there is no night, which it's obviously going to be, then we're going to need resurrection bodies to cope with it. Because I need my sleep at the moment.
Yeah.
So, things are going to change in me, obviously, yes, and all of us, I guess, yeah. But he's going to prepare a place for us, yeah. And I'd like to suggest, if Jesus is preparing a place for you, he knows exactly what suits.
What
you
want.
Exactly what suits you, yeah. Right. And that, if I go to prepare the place, he uses the word if, but it's not an if, maybe, it's an if, when. Yeah. And when I go and pray. Yeah, that's what he's getting at, yeah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Right, so he's promised to come back and take you. Mm-hmm. When will he do that? Or how is he going to do that? What's he speaking about there?
When
you're
ready,
when he comes back and returns. That's one of the meanings, yes. That's how people have obviously understood its basic meaning. Mm-hmm. Jesus is coming back eventually to take us to be with him. Mm-hmm. Right? But for a lot of people,
it's before that,
because that's why it's been used in funeral services.
Yes.
Jesus comes for you now, as well as he's coming in glory to raise our bodies and so on. Yeah. So that's why they use that idea, yeah? Right. So he's coming back to take us to be with him.
He with his Father, he says. And he takes us to be with him.
Takes us to be with him, yes.
There's not the difference there between the new heaven and the new earth. It sounds like heaven, doesn't it?
Well, we're going to heaven, yes. Heaven is the presence of God, wherever that is, yes. But the time will come.
So the new heaven and the new earth is
nowhere
we go when we die?
No, well, because it's not ready yet.
There's no earth, no, not here, there.
Yeah, assuming we are not alive when Jesus comes back, right, we will be in heaven with him now, right, and then when he comes back, he'll raise our bodies to live in the new earth. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
So when we go first, it's not the final place. So
sorry?
When we go first, it's not the final.
Oh, no.
We're
going
to have to move to
this
flat then.
No. You'll be okay. You won't be okay, yeah. Your final place.
Bench.
Your final place is in your resurrection body.
Which is when you die.
You don't have a resurrection body when you die.
No.
You have a resurrection body when Jesus comes
back.
Yes.
So what are you doing then in between?
Spirits. You're in the presence of God. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say an awful lot about what's called the... it's what's called about the intermediate state.
Yeah.
We will be conscious. Yeah. We will see him. We will serve him. Yeah. But the best even then is yet to be.
They said the dead is asleep, isn't it?
Oh, the body's asleep, but the soul isn't. We will be conscious in the Lord's presence.
Yes.
So for example, on the cross, Jesus said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
Well, that can't be bad, can it?
No.
So, but there's more to come, I was going to say. We've got more to come. It's always good with Jesus.
Mm.
So, anyway, quite how you work out your room, Chris, I'm not sure, but we'll see what happens there.
Paradise.
Right, I will take you to be where I am. Now that's heaven, dear friends. Wherever Jesus is, he's going to be heaven, right? Yeah. And the lovely thing is, he says, a promise to them, you're coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Well, they should do.
Yeah.
Yes. He is. He's the way to get there. Right, fellowship with him, right? But of course, these disciples are stupid.
Well, they're with him all the time.
They're with him all the time, but they still don't get it.
No.
I'm trying to be unkind to them, really. And it's this. One of the reasons they didn't get it was that the Holy Spirit hadn't been given as it was in Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
So they've not quite got the same understanding. But they spent 3 years with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
listening to him, seeing him. They should have got something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Well, that sounds pretty logical, doesn't it? If you don't know where you're going, you won't know the way. But Jesus has told him where he's going. He's going to the Father. So that's, and he knows the way because he is the way. Yeah? So Thomas, good old Thomas, asks these good questions. Like a good disciple that's a bit dumb. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered. It was a lovely opportunity for an answer though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus spells it out. He's the way. Yeah? To know God, to have a relationship with God, is through Jesus. No way, no other alternatives. Jesus alone. Yeah? And he does it by showing us the truth about ourselves and about God. And he brings the life of an eternal relationship with God. That's what Jesus does. And I want to just spell this out. Spurgeon said this really well. I read it the other day. He says, just remember this. It's not your faith that saves you.
No.
It's Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's your faith in Jesus that gets you to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But just remember, it's not your good deeds.
No.
It's not your faith.
No.
Not your great trust. It's Jesus who saves you.
Yeah.
Right? And he brings us into a relationship with the Father. That's, we'll see that as we go on. Yeah, you've got that? Yeah? You're not saved by faith.
No.
In the sense that faith being the thing that saves you.
Yeah.
Faith is the means to connect you to the one who does save you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
You, that is exclusive. Seriously exclusive. That excludes all other attempts by religious efforts or any other efforts to get into a relationship with God will not work. God has made it so that there's only one door, and the door is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty... You, as Christians, you're going to be called, you know, biased and bigoted and sort of, you know, awkward people.
Crackpots.
Well, possibly crackpots too, yes. Yeah. Because you're saying, you know, you're just excluding everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not excluding everybody else. Everybody can come to God through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the door's wide open. But I am excluding every alternative method of getting to God. I remember one dear friend of mine, an Indian man, he said, all roads lead to God.
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of roads that lead to destruction.
Yeah.
But I did try to be sort of conciliatory and said to him, not all roads lead to God, but there are many roads that lead to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
People can come to Jesus in all sorts of interesting ways,
mm-hmm.
can't they?
Yeah.
You know, if I asked you all your experience of how you became a Christian, everyone would be different.
Yeah.
Yeah? There are many roads in that sense that lead us to Jesus, but when we get to Jesus, he's the only way to get to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Right, okay, so, if you really knew me, this is a go at the disciples, and he's not talking to just Thomas here, the you now is plural.
Yeah.
Yeah? If you lot really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And this idea of knowing is about relations. You know, it's not just having an idea, it's a personal knowledge of someone. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. Why?
Because
Jesus is the clear representation of who the Father is. You want to know God? Go to Jesus.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Right, so that's wonderful. Jesus is saying, you know, you do know him because you've got to know me. You don't know everything yet. You've not quite got it all. But from now on you do know God. And you've seen him. You've seen God. Well, that's a great one, isn't it? What does he mean?
You've
seen Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. If you want to know what God's like,
look
at Jesus. Yeah? That's what he's saying. And then Philip. Good old Philip. Another one of these disciples, you know, smart guys. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Yeah. And what Philip's getting at is that he's saying, basically, you know, that in the past, God made what they call these theophanies, God appearing as the angel of the Lord and so on, you know, in these glorious manifestations of his presence and his glory and power. And I think that's what Philip's getting at, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He said, show us that, show us God like that, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
That's what Moses wanted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Father, Lord, show me yourself.
Your
and God
says,
well, you can't see me, I'll put you in a rock,
yeah.
and I'll come under the rock with my hand, I'll go by, and you'll just see the back of me.
Yeah.
That's all you get. But Moses was pleased with that.
Yeah.
And that's what they get. I think that's what they're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, their problem is, who's standing right in front of them?
Mm-hmm.
It's God incarnate.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what Jesus has done is he's turned the light power down so they see a human being most of the time. It's only occasionally they have these flashes of amazing revelation. God, this person's not normal.
Yeah?
Alright, anyway, that's what he's poor Philip saying. Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? How do you think Jesus said that? It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's affectionate. He loves Philip. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's saying to Philip, oh, Philip, haven't you got it yet? After all this time. Yeah. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, the important thing about that is, it's a beautiful, beautiful sentence, but there's more to it than meets the eye, you could say. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's seen Jesus has seen the Father. Is that true?
Yeah.
There were crowds in Jerusalem. Yeah. There were people who were fed by the multitude. Mm-hmm. They saw Jesus,
yeah,
but they didn't see Father.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Their eyes weren't
open. It's a spiritual seeing what Jesus is talking about. He who sees Jesus through the eyes of faith and by the help of the Spirit sees God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's true of me, and I'm sure it's true of you. I once read about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he's a wonderful person.
Yeah.
But this appreciation of who he really is only comes when you're born again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he who's seen me has seen the Father. But for us that understand that now, what we're saying is that Jesus is making an astounding claim there. He's calling himself God.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know God, look at me, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, we're involved with a mystery here, you know. It's the mystery of what we call the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That there's one God, and yet God is revealing himself in three persons.
Mm-hmm.
Not three separate bits,
no,
but as three persons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to get your head around.
Mm-hmm.
And often Christianity is criticised because of our teaching about the Trinity.
Yeah.
But I offer you this as a possible answer to people who criticise us for believing in the Trinity. Christians didn't make it up. It was forced on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It'd be so much easier to say, like, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, one God, no Son, no Spirit, just one God, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It'd be really easy, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the early Christians were really cornered. In that here's this person turns up called Jesus, starts making claims who he is, yeah, and he actually proves it by the way he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he says, I'm going to send somebody else, as we'll see, and he says, this person is just like me,
mm-hmm,
and he's the Spirit, and they've got to figure out how to leave it in these things, you know. So Christians were forced into believing in the Trinity. It's not sort of something that we would naturally figure out.
Mm-hmm. And we don't really understand it either.
We don't understand it, no. It's impossible to understand. This is, we're talking about God now,
yeah,
you know, and we are little human beings.
Yeah.
But you've got to live with what he's shown you. That's the way it is. And so here we are. So Jesus is making this astounding claim, right? Yeah. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Right, so he's saying to these disciples, to Philip in particular, you know, here I am, I'm revealing the Father. Yeah, yeah. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Again, astounding things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus is saying that there's a beautiful unity between him and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Father's in him, and he's in the Father.
His baptism.
Yes, that was Trinitarian, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Spirit came down, the Father spoke, and Jesus is in the water.
Yeah.
It showed the relationship between the Father and
yes, yeah, my beloved son, yeah, right. And there's lots of instances, I mean,
yeah,
just give you, when Jesus tells the disciples at the end in Matthew's Gospel to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them, what did he say? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say names. Yeah?
In the name.
Really interesting that. He didn't say names. Because it's one person,
mm-hmm,
or one God,
mm-hmm,
yeah, three persons, yeah.
They also saw the relationship he had with the Father by the way he went off to pray so.
Yes, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Well,
the people that are in the church, I know they're going off, but, you know, when they're sort of teaching and preaching, well, they can't, when they absolutely don't believe the verse and verse and things like that, they're making a mockery of all this, aren't
they? Well, they have, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sad to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Jesus is who he says he is, right? And then he says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. He said, I'm not just talking off my head, you know. What I'm giving you is what I've been given.
Yeah.
Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So Jesus is saying, you want to see God at work? You want to see how Father works? Watch what I do! If you want to hear what God is saying, listen to what I'm saying! Oh, that's astounding, Claire! Any human being that did that, that wasn't really who like Jesus is, they'd lock him up.
Yeah.
But he's actually making these astounding statements, yeah? And then he says this, yeah? Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. It's important. And they need to know that because that's going to be really tested in the next few hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, or at least, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So basically he's saying is if you can't get what I'm saying into your heads, just think back to the things I've done.
Yeah.
You can see God in action when God's used my words and my actions to change lives, circumstances, situations in miraculous ways.
Mm-hmm.
That was God. You'll admit that was God?
Yeah.
Well, who did it? It was me! He's saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
God working through me. Yeah.
It's difficult because I can believe that God is using you.
Yes.
But I'm difficult to believe the statement he's making.
Well, he's making it bigger than that, isn't he? Yes. Oh, yes.
He's making it a lot bigger.
Oh, yes. He's a lot bigger.
And they don't have the Holy Spirit. So
well, he's trying to help them to hold on and encourage their faith.
Yeah.
I say, they aren't going to struggle. They're going to work.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
of it, Peter's going to deny. The rest of the disciples are going to run off.
Run off.
You know, and for... What, 24, 48 hours, they are going to feel
not
totally defeated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they need something to keep them floating.
After Pentecost, they're doing the miracles.
After Pentecost, you couldn't stop them.
Ah,
but we're not there yet.
It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Really?
It's the Holy Spirit, makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, next, carry on, let's carry on, see where we go here then, yeah. Let's have a look now then. Right, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Well, he always did do. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father.
Amen.
Yeah? So Jesus makes an astounding promise to them. There's a future here. You're going to do what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? But he says, you'll do even greater things than these.
Yeah.
What greater things can you do than what Jesus did?
You can get more people, you can speak to more people.
Speak to more, that's one of the things. Yes? It's more of the same, but one of the things that Jesus is going to be doing through the disciples is he's going to break the national boundaries and take the message worldwide. Jesus didn't do that.
No.
The disciples did that.
No.
Yeah? So that's greater because he's saying, I'm just based here. You're going to be everywhere, right? That's one of the things. And also, in terms of numbers, in terms of what Jesus did, he was confined to working where he was, in that sense. Yeah? But now, through his Spirit working in disciples, he can be doing miracles right, left and centre, you know. That's. So, greater things coming.
Mm-hmm.
Promise. Well, there you are. Do you think they believed it at the time?
No.
I don't think so, yeah. Yeah. And about this? And this isn't just for them.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father.
Mm.
Yeah? If you ask in Jesus' name, Father will answer, so that Jesus brings glory to God through doing what's done. Yeah? But whatever you ask in my name, what does that mean? Whatever you ask in my name. If it's according to the will of God, but if you're asking through Jesus, yes? To ask in his name is to come as recognizing that Jesus is the one who is answering our prayers through what God is wanting us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
He intercedes for us,
yes, we've got that as well, yes. Yes, he's interceding for us and praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about us praying there, isn't he?
Yeah.
You pray, and you pray, asking his name is really according to his will. Yeah.
Well, that was why we tanked on the end of our prayers in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because, let me put it this way, what you're saying is, when you say it in Jesus' name at the end, I believe this is what Jesus would ask for, and so I'm willing to bring it to you.
Yeah.
Right?
But then there comes a stage when you don't have to be so petrified to say it.
Yeah.
As long as God knows what's in your heart.
As long as God knows what's in your heart.
Yeah.
And your wording doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
Because Jesus intercedes for us. And we're told later on in Romans, the Holy Spirit can take what we think and feel, and even the words we can't express, and turns them into prayers.
Yeah.
Right, so we can come with all that human mix of things as well, as we pray, and as it is according to the Father's will, if that's what God is wanting to do in us and through us, you've got the answer. Yeah? Have you ever been in that situation where you've been praying about something and you really felt, I don't need to pray about this anymore, I know it's on the way?
That's
the confirmation of the Spirit that God's heard it, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Now, it doesn't always work like that way. No. Sometimes you just have to keep praying and praying and praying. Mm. And trust the Lord knows what he's talking about. And there's a lovely verse I read the other day in Revelation. It's about the angel, I think it's one of the elders or whatever, it's somebody. He's got the prayers of the saints in a golden bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And he offers them up to God. He says, the prayers are held in the bowl. Well, the thought is this, that all those prayers weren't all prayed at one moment, in one place. I suspect there was a lot of people doing a lot of praying over a long time, and all those prayers are being answered at a particular time that God has chosen is the right time. Yeah? So don't give up praying, you may be just filling the bowl a bit. That's what I'm getting at.
Do you think sometimes, I don't know what it is, when you pray for something else, or, you know, with other people or yourself, and sometimes on occasion I think, where did that prayer come from?
Ah.
And
well,
I was
there
once, years ago, and I thought, I have to say it out loud,
didn't you? Where did that one come from?
Well, Lord, yes. And he said, from God, of course.
Yes.
You know, a long time ago. And, you know, but, I mean, I don't know what the foundations were, but it came in a different way from usual.
Yeah.
But I think one has to learn, doesn't he? Works in different ways.
Well, it's a relationship thing, and God's bigger than we are, so we've a lot to learn, I guess, and it's a growing process, isn't it?
Constantly renewing our mind.
All right, so we're on verse 13. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Interesting? You can ask Father through Jesus, but you can ask Jesus, and he'll do it. That's because Jesus is God's Son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, how about that? You can ask for anything in my name. Right, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'll just offer you this, brothers and sisters, as a little help and check to you. God reserves the right to say no.
Mm-hmm.
If it's stupid, if it would harm you, if it's not the best, he can reserve the right to say no, or wait. You know, sometimes it's no, not yet, wait, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or yes. Yeah. So, it's a mystery of prayer again. I mean, God knows what you're going to ask for before you ask. But keep praying. The way it works. Right, let's move on then. We've got the next little bit, which is really quite remarkable. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Isn't that amazing? Yes? Jesus says, you know, that if you claim to love me, don't think you can carry on your own sweet way. You do as I ask you to do, command you to do, yeah? Right. And I will ask the Father. So Jesus, and the word that Jesus uses for ask isn't the same word as we use. We ask as we come as humble suppliants, yeah? Or is that the word? Something like that, anyway. Supplicants, sorry, yeah. Humble people come into God. Lord, we ask, we come as children, we come as your sons and daughters, that we're asking that you'll do this. Right? When Jesus comes, he says, this is what I want, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It's a different level.
But
yeah?
Don't you think that's the way he wants us to pray?
Of course he wants us to pray.
The
what?
Same as Jesus.
Oh, no, there's a difference there. There's a difference in that, yeah? Yeah, I'm sure that Jesus, because Jesus is speaking from a knowledge and an understanding of what God's will is, the Father's will.
But we
different
come,
to us.
We come to that will, don't we?
We aim to, yes.
Yeah, come to know that we are heirs with Jesus.
Yes.
And therefore we can ask the Father.
You can ask. As I say, he reserves the right to say no. Right. Okay. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another counsellor, advocate or something like that, to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus is promising now, for these disciples, later on of course, but he's promising them, he says, I will give you another counsellor. Right now, these two very interesting words. If you're Greek students, you're a Greek student?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
Can be.
Right, yeah. The word another. Right, that's another word, yes? The word another can mean two things. And the Greek has two different words for another. Let me give you an example, very simple. If I give you an apple and an orange, yes, I've given you one and I've given you another.
Yeah.
Right? But if I give you two apples, I've given you another. What's the difference between them? One is another of a different kind, and then one is another of the same kind.
Yeah.
Got the idea?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, which word does Jesus use when he talks about the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Father will give you another of the same kind or a different kind?
Yeah.
Same kind, right. Jesus is saying it's one just like me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's getting at, yeah? And he talks about this word advocate. You know the word,
yeah.
You've come across it, it's the word paraclete.
Yeah?
Do you know what the word paraclete means? There's lots of ways.
Yeah.
Advocate, intercessor, something like that, or comforter, they've used that word as well.
Mm-hmm.
The words, just for helping you with your Greek, as you're studying Greek these days. Para, it's two words, para and kletos, yeah? Para means alongside, and kletos means called. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is called alongside to help you, yeah? To stand in your defense, to be able to give you the strength and the wisdom that you need. He is called alongside you, right? In fact, the wonderful truth is, he actually comes to be in you, which is great to know, but that's the word he has, emphatically. So, I'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. Is that good?
Mm.
With you forever. And don't you need him? Yes. The Spirit of Truth. That's his name, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Spirit of Truth. He's the one who tells you what the reality is, what really is true, and helps you. And one of the things I think that the Spirit of Truth really can do, there are lots of gifts you read about in Corinthians, all these gifts of the Spirit and whatever. But one gift that's really interesting is the Spirit of Discernment.
Yeah.
Right, it gives you the ability to sense things which aren't right.
Yes.
Because he's the truth, he knows what's dodgy, and he can let you know it's not right.
Yeah.
So I call it, God gives you what I call a spiritual nose.
Yeah.
It doesn't smell right.
Yeah.
Right? That happens, doesn't it? Yeah?
Yes.
You don't have to be smart.
No.
If the Holy Spirit can help you think, no, I'm not quite sure about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, the Spirit of Truth. Yeah. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. That's the world's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Two problems the world has. If you can't see something, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're getting over that a bit in some ways because we've got all these radio waves and TV waves and microwaves buzzing around. We know at least there are things out there you can't see that are real.
Mm-hmm.
But for most people, their idea is if you can't see it, it ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
When I came to the Lord, I felt God's presence
at
that moment.
Right.
I felt him in the room.
Yes.
And I felt
broken. Ah, well, that's his reality breaking through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, it turns your receiver on to you.
Yeah.
You see, that's one of the things I say about as a Christian, you know, what God does for us when we're born again is you're like a radio or a television set, right? You, when you're born into this world, are like, let's say, a television set, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the remote control is off, yeah? And when Jesus comes into your heart, God turns the receiver on, and all the signals that are out there, all of a sudden, they're coming into you, and you get it,
yeah?
Turns the light on, and you get the signal. Right, okay, so, the world cannot accept him when it doesn't see him, and it doesn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And that's how you have a relationship with God, is a matter of knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? If you don't know him, you can't have a relationship with him. Right, so, the world can't accept the Holy Spirit. But you know him,
mm-hmm.
for he lives with you, and will be in you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit was there, by the presence of Jesus, amongst them. But the time's coming when he's not going to be out there, he's going to be in here.
But you do need your discernment too. Mm-hmm. When you spend time and quiet time with the Lord,
yes.
You know he's saying, you know, I want to seek you, I want to know you better.
Yes.
You know, doesn't it? Because we're all to read, because he expects us.
That is a requirement for all believers.
He wants us to
all believers should spend time with the Lord.
Know that we need him more.
Yes. Yeah.
What have you.
And as we realise that, we'll go on better with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how about this? Yeah. He lives with you and will be in we will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Isn't that so precious? You know. An orphan's a child that's got no parents, yeah, just abandoned and left because they've died, you know. But Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you like that. I will come to you. How about that? Jesus come to you? Into your heart, into your life.
Well, he chose me.
Yes. And he's come. Why he chose you? There is no reason why he chose you except that he set his love upon you, Rob. Yeah? We do. It's amazing. Yeah, it is totally amazing. But that's him. He's an amazing person, you know.
But he did say he wants us to love him with all our heart.
Yes, yes. That's his desire. Yeah. Yeah. But the amazing thing is, he knows that we're incapable of that until he comes and chooses and works in us.
Yeah.
Changes us. It's wonderful. Right, on that day, when he comes to live within us, right, it says there, I will come to you. Yeah, I'm coming to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. What does he mean by that?
Because we know him.
Well, there's a natural level. Within a few more hours, they're never going to see Jesus again.
No.
Right? He could have walked around Jerusalem, they'd have seen him before, yeah. But after these 3 days, they're never going to see him again. But you'll see me. Well, those disciples saw him as the risen Jesus,
yeah.
But obviously it goes beyond that. We see him now through his word, in our experience, right? And we see him working in people. So we've moved on, as wonderfully say, yeah? Mm-hmm. Right. So, the world will see, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Mm-hmm. He's the source of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, gotta keep going, haven't we? Because he's in us. Right. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and that I am in you. How about this? He's moved on. He says, on that day, what's that day? When the Spirit comes, really. Yeah. On that day, you'll realise, what he's been trying to tell them all along, I'm in the Father. Yeah? And you'll realise that the Father's in me.
Mm-hmm.
But he's added, not only that, he says, on that day you'll realise that you are in me.
Yeah.
There's something remarkable happens when we come to faith in Jesus. It's not that we're not an individual anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're linked. We're joined some organic way. Mm-hmm. We're joined to Jesus and, of course, to each other as a result of that.
That's why baptism is so important.
Yeah, it's a symbol of that union with Jesus.
We share in his death and we rise
into
new life.
Yeah. So you'll realise that you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. So we're back to that. See, it's all wonderful stuff. But it shows itself in how you live it.
Yeah.
If you've got his commands, and you do it, right? He's doing what James has to say later on. It's no good saying you believe if you don't live it.
Yeah.
Faith without works is a dead dog. Right. He who loves me, now this is great though, he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So if you love Jesus, you've got a guarantee that Father loves you too. Yeah. Now you might not have had a very good father. I hope you have. Yeah. If you haven't, yeah, you've got a good heavenly Father, and you've got a guarantee he really does love you. Because if you love Jesus, he says, my Father loves you too as well. And I too will love him and show myself to him. And again, that's something precious. When Jesus reveals himself to us. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Right, okay, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot. You know why it's not Judas Iscariot? He's gone.
Yeah.
He's left already. Right? So Jesus is talking to his disciples that left.
Yeah.
Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Why did he say that?
Because he thinks Jesus is going to come into his kingdom.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You're going to come and zap them all, Lord, and just really shock his world into some new way, yeah? Mm-hmm. Why don't you show yourself to the world, Lord, and only just to us? Right? And the reason being is that the world does not recognize him, doesn't love him, doesn't want him. Right? It's the ones who are his children he's going to reveal himself to, right? Yeah. Right? Jesus replied, this is the answer, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. The world's not going to be doing that, so I'm not showing myself to them.
Yeah.
Right. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So you've got Father, the Holy Spirit and Jesus living in you. In an amazing way. I don't know how he does it, but it's good, isn't it? Right? What a lovely thing. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Simple as that. Yeah? These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Yes? So Jesus made it quite clear. This is not my stuff. It's exactly what Father wanted me to say.
But the thing is, he wants to use us as a picture of love.
On a lower level, the embodiment of what Jesus wants us to be, to show Jesus to the world. In fact, someone said that, the only picture of Jesus the world will see is what you show him.
Yeah. When we went out Friday, I went with a friend and her mum, and she's a very stout born again Christian, with her husband as well. And Sharon's partner will argue till he's blue in the face. He was the one who called me crackpot, by the way. But the thing is, when we sat down and we calmed down, he looked at all three of us, me and Sharon's mum and husband, and he said, I've got a lot of respect for you because of the way you live. So he still could see it, even though he didn't acknowledge it.
Down tonight, didn't it? Yes, that's good. Yeah. Okay, nearly there now. Let's have a look. Where have we got to? Verse 25, isn't it? Yes. All this I've spoken while still with you. Yeah, which is true, yeah. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. That's an astounding verse. That really is. If you're a theologian, that verse is a verse you really need to know. Because it says something really, really, really interesting. Right? Jesus, he doodled in the sand, but as far as I know, he never wrote a word as far as what we've received. I'm sure he could write. Sure he could, yeah. But as far as the Bible's concerned, Jesus never wrote a word.
No, no.
And yet we've got lots of his words. Yeah. How do we know there is? No, I don't mean that. No, I'm not talking about the witness in our hearts. How do we know that these words that they wrote are what Jesus said?
By faith.
By faith.
The Gospels corroborate one another.
They corroborate one another, yes.
He said he's the Word.
Yes. He said he's the Word. But the thing I want to say... Sorry?
Because the Holy Spirit's revealed it.
The Holy Spirit's revealed it to us.
Yeah.
That it's true, yes. Yeah. That's true, that is true, yes. Yeah. But what Jesus is saying in that verse there, let me just say it again, yeah? He's talking to these disciples now, right? And he says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Mm-hmm. On the first level, he's saying, you guys will remember what I've said when the Holy Spirit brings back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have God's guarantee that what the apostles gave us is what Jesus said. Right? I'm sure they got good memories.
Yeah.
I'm sure God used their memories to remember the stuff that Jesus said. But the reason they remembered what they remembered was the Holy Spirit gave them the remembering.
An example. When reading the beginning of John, when it says about the Word, I've never connected it, crazy, you know, I can't remember the exact year, with Genesis.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit did.
Yes, he linked it.
And then he
linked
them up.
Yes, So, that's the primary ones for the disciples, right?
Yeah.
God will, the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind the teachings that Jesus had given them so that they could write them down so that we've got them.
Yeah.
Right? That's number one meaning. But then the other is, of course, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, talking about disciples beyond the early ones, yeah? So the Holy Spirit's your teacher. Yeah? I know he gives teachers like guys like me and other people besides, yeah? But if you get it, it's not because I'm so good at teaching, it's because he's taught it to you.
Yeah.
I do my bit and explain what I can, but if you really get it, God's turned it on for you, right?
Yeah.
Just, that's a good thing to remember, that one, yeah?
Yeah.
And then, never mind, we'll carry on. And the other thing is that he will remind you of everything I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit brings to mind the things that we're learning from his word, right, that are applying and are useful in the situations we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, I want to. This is an encouragement to you. read your Bibles. Yeah? Because as you read your Bibles, you might not be aware of it, but the stuff that you're reading is in there somewhere, and the Holy Spirit can use it when you need it.
Yeah.
I'll just use the illustration of football. You know you're all into football these days, right? Yeah? The footballers, when they go out onto the pitch, know the rules.
Yeah.
You don't take the rule book out with you. Mm. Yeah? The rules are in there so they can use them as they're playing. And the same idea applies to living out as a Christian. Know the rules so that the Spirit can use them when you need them, where you need them, at the time you need them. Yeah? I mean, occasionally you do get caught out and you go, oh, I don't know what I want to say about this. Yeah? I'll go back and find out. Yeah, that's okay. Right? But I'm encouraging you. Yeah? The Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you put in your mind.
Yeah.
Although I offer this as a little encouragement to you as well. God can give you verses and stuff you've never read before.
Amen.
It's astounding. Yeah. Yeah? Now, I'm suggesting he does that as the exception, rather than the rule. You know, he expects you to use the little model that he's given us.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's move on to this verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Right, so Jesus is offering them peace. And they're going to need peace in the next 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Peace. What's peace?
Shalom.
Shalom. Yes. It's not just the absence of fighting and war, they say, you know, you've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
There's something positive about peace, you know, it's a full sense of well-being, wholeness, Jesus gives us that.
Even if things around you are dying.
Strange, isn't it, yeah. It's called the peace that passes understanding,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And then he says this, which is quite interesting, the peace he gives isn't the way the world gives it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. I do not give to you as the world gives. How does the world give? When the world gives you anything, what does it do? They expect something in return. There may be catches. There may be sub clauses and sub clauses. When the world gives, it's always got some ulterior motive. Yeah? When Jesus gives, it's yours. Yeah? That's how he gives peace. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Right. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Think about it. Jesus in the middle of storms was asleep. Why? Because he was at peace. Yes, right. I give you. Not, I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. We're back to verse 1. Yeah. He's really said, look, all I've just said, guys, take this on board because you'll need it. And I care about you. Right. You've heard me.
I'm in my mirror, you know, in my front room.
All right.
Have you seen? I've got peace.
Peace. Yeah.
Right.
So when you begin to lose it, look at the word. Look at the word. Yeah. You heard me say. Now this is a very personal bit from Jesus. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. Yes, he told them that. And he's obviously noticed that when he said that, they were a bit upset. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What does he mean?
I mean, he's saying something.
Jesus is saying something that's important here. He's saying this, if you really love me, you'd be glad that I'm going back to the Father. Because while I'm down here, I'm limited as a human being. I've not got Son, and I'm revealing Father to you. But it says in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he emptied himself. Yeah? Mm.
Do you think he just came when he did come in the beginning?
So he went. You know, so all the disciples, they just say, all the world, they remembered. So he's given them all the knowledge. Now it's time to go. He's starting to go, but the thing he's telling them, if you love me, you want me, you want more blessing for me as well, is what he's getting at. If you really love me, you'd be glad that I'm going home, because I've been away from home for so long.
Yeah,
I'll go back to being with Father, sitting on His side, rejoicing in His fellowship, all of those things. That'd be great!
Yeah.
If you really loved me, you'd want that for me, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And that's how we should feel as well.
Yes, because the Father's greater than I, because as mediator, as Jesus as man on earth, of course God's bigger, more important. Yeah? Of course the Jehovah's Witnesses and others use this verse to wonderful effect. Well, Jesus isn't God then. Because he says, the Father's greater than I. Well, you can give them all sorts of explanations. But Jesus is really saying is, while I'm here down on earth, I've limited myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's how it is. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But when I get back up there, we're on equal terms in that sense. Yeah?
We have to get to know him, as you say. When he's gone through, you know, the drama of the Gethsemane and entered in and gone through, we can only be thankful when we read this to him, can't we?
Yes.
We get to love him more.
Yeah. So, right, verse, I've told you now, this is the real, Jesus wants to leave this thought with them. I've told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. See, it's all about wanting to keep their faith going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Believe in God, keep on believing in me, because he knows they're going to find it really tough to hang on in. Yeah? And so he's saying is, I'm telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you know, it wasn't a mistake, I didn't get it wrong, I know what's going on, because I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's really what he's saying. Yeah. So you'll be able to draw comfort from the fact that it's all going pear-shaped, because he said it would.
Yeah.
Right, so, I will not speak to you with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. Yeah, and he's just walking down the road at this time with Judas.
Yeah.
He has no hold on me. How about that? That's a great verse. Mm-hmm. One little verse,
I've got four of them.
Satan has no hold on Jesus. And you know why he just had no hold on Jesus? He's no sin.
Right?
That's the grip that he's got, sin. And Jesus is claiming to be sinless. I mean, you know, you lock people up like this, you know, normally, don't you? Except that this is Jesus speaking. Right? He has no hold on me. But the world must know that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. He says, I want you to know and I want the world to know, I do what I do because Father's telling me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't care what they think. I'm not worried about what they think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing what I'm doing because it's right, because Father wants it done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then his last little phrase, very interesting one, come now, let us leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then we have two more chapters of Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that? He says, let's go, and then he carries on for another two chapters.
Yeah.
But people do that all the time. If you get people come to your home, right, and you get them to the door, they say, I'm going now, and then they spend 10 minutes at the door talking. Right? Well, that's what's going on for you.
Because
Jesus is more to finish with them, but they're getting ready to go. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Like preachers,
he keeps saying. And finally, finally, sisters and brothers, yes, let's pray then. Lord, thank you, Lord. You warned those disciples, and Lord, it worked for them. I know that they really crashed in many ways, Lord, but they rose again. And just because you rose again, to show them your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you reveal of yourself. And Lord, what you reveal of yourself to us as individuals, that we can know you, and by your Holy Spirit living in us, experience the amazing understanding of something about a God who made the whole universe, the vastness of who you are, and yet our little minds and our bodies can begin to grasp something of that. Lord, it's incredibly humbling. We're unworthy, as our brother said, Lord, why choose us? Lord, we've no idea. But Lord, you've done it, and so we're so grateful. We're thanking you for your love, Lord, and your mercies. Help us, Lord, to keep your commands in that sense, Lord, to do what you say, Lord Jesus, because we love you. It's not that we're earning your love, it's because we do love you, that we want to please you. Help us, Lord, and keep us. For we ask it, Father God, in that name that you promised to hear him, in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.